All right, good morning, everybody. Thanks, Russell. I have a good word for you guys this morning. And yeah, thank you. I got a good preach, but a good word too. If you remember when Clem was here and he prophesied, he said that I would have short sermons. And he also said they'd be provoking. So, not so much. Not so much with that. All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this opportunity to share this morning. And God, I pray to be your words flowing through me, not something I've come up with in my head, God. And I pray to be a word that would be for every single person here this morning, God, that it would speak to their hearts and their souls. And we thank you for this special Sunday that you've blessed us with. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're continuing our series in I Love My Church, and PJ talked about life groups last week, and I'm going to talk about serving this morning. And so we want to start with, we want to start with a passage here. If you guys don't, is Andrew gone? My AV guy left me. Thanks, Timmy. Quick on the draw. Timmy can do it all. All right, so no, next one. Oh, don't look at that, Lesson Ingrid. So go back. He's actually got he's got a scripture that he was going to put up there. So it's going to be 1 Corinthians 12:27. Just pull that up in your Bible, okay? Thanks, Andrew. Look how fast he is. Oh. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12:27 through 31, okay? And I was going to read in the NIV, but Andrew's got it in ESV. So, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it, and God has placed in the church first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all... Next slide. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. And so we're going to talk about serving. And, you know, I was thinking when I was preparing this sermon that we are a serving church. It's an amazing, unique culture that is in this church. We're a serving church. And there are, you know, look across all your faces here this morning, and almost every single person, you could put them in a certain ministry. Everybody is doing... Most everybody is doing something, and we have this incredible church of servants. We really are blessed with this servant heart and the servant attitude here. And I think what I got from this passage of scripture is that we need everybody. And I think there are so many talents and gifts and abilities here in this church. It's incredible. And many of those gifts and talents we're seeing, and many of them we haven't seen yet. And maybe some people just haven't quite stepped up yet. Maybe they don't even know they have this gift or this ability yet, but I believe there's a lot of resources here still that have not yet been unearthed, okay? And I'm believing God for more. I think God's going to bring more people. I think he's going to bring more talents and gifts, and but we need everybody to be functioning in their gifts for us to be a healthy, whole church. And I think two things happen when we operate in our gifts. One is it grows us as believers, matures us as believers, but number two, it adds to the body. And so think about that. It's not just for us, it's for the body. And a great example, a perfect example of that I thought of was just our life group on Thursday was amazing. And it wasn't because of one person leading a life group. It was because of us as a body coming together and operating in our gifts. And so there was a time when Les is, you know, kneeling in front of someone and tears are coming down his cheeks. And he's like, you're honored in heaven. You know, Ryan had a prophetic word. Bev is laying her hands on someone and praying over them. Ingrid has a scripture. And like this beautiful evening came together, and it wasn't because of one person leading a life group. It was because the body came together and operated in their gifts. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful. And some of the most amazing moments we've had is our life group moments. And it's because, yeah, the body comes together, okay? And now if you read, I'll go back. Don't show that picture yet, Andrew. Thanks, buddy. I'm just kidding. You're doing great, man. So at the end of chapter 12, the last verse actually says, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. So you can't like read chapter 12 and then say, I'm not interested in chapter 13, because he says, now I'm going to show you the most excellent way. And he goes on to say that if we do any of our gifts and we operate them without love, they're meaningless. you know? So if I speak in tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. I picture that little monkey with the cymbal sound like this, right? If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give everything that I own to the poor but I don't do it with love, it's nothing, okay? So we can't be operating in our gifts without love being attached to it. So we are a serving church. We have a unique culture, and I think something very spiritual happens when I decide, okay, I'm going to preach, or someone decides they're going to push a mop or say hello to a new visitor, or, you know, something spiritual. There's a shift that happens in us that occurs when we decide to say yes to serving God. And yeah, like I said, I'm believing for more. So now you can show the lesson, Ingrid, slide. Because when I was preparing this sermon, I thought of these guys right away, and you talk about servants, like, listen, Ingrid, you guys don't even know what happens in this church. Oh, hang on a second, we're going to say that. You don't even know what happens in this church that Les and Ingrid take care of. And this is a little snippet for you, okay? So they invited me and Isaiah and Eli over for a Grey Cup party. And, you know, Les had like 50 different snacks out for us to choose from, which was a nightmare for my kids, but it was amazing. And then Ingrid quietly slips away, and you're like, where did she go? She knows I like sushi, so she actually went and got me some sushi together. And so when I'm preparing this message, I'm like, man, here are some servants. So so now we're doing standing ovations, right? Les and Ingrid, huh? We love you guys. You have space with us, with our kids. You're knit into our lives. We love you guys. So why do we serve? You know, why do we serve? And it's a question that I've asked myself before. Do we have other motives for serving? You know, and it was reminded me of a time when I was in university and I was playing football, and it was fall camp, and there was me and another one of my buddies, and we were very serious about football, but we found ourselves staying up until 1 o'clock in the morning having this deep conversation, which was crazy for us because we had a busy day the next day. But we were talking about, why do we serve? Why do we volunteer? And he was convinced the reason he volunteered was so he could meet cute girls. And I was like, no, man, I think your heart is there, but maybe another reason. But, you know, why do we serve? And as believers, the reason we serve is to become more like Jesus, right? So who had a word in pre-service prayer? You know, Jesus was the ultimate servant leader. We serve because we want to be like Jesus. We want to be sanctified. Sanctified means being holy, being set apart, consecrated, right? So we serve to be more like Jesus. And so there's a surrender that happens. We got to give our life to the Lord, right? So when we start serving, there's a sacrifice involved, and it hurts, right? It's not easy. But through that process, we become sanctified. And so we have to surrender our lives to God, start serving, live up to the sacrifice, endure it so that we can get to the other side, okay? And if you think about it, we're hardwired to serve, aren't we? Literally hardwired to serve. And the problem is, and we're constantly serving. You might think, I'm not really a servant, you know? We are always serving. The problem is, we're usually just serving ourselves, right? We're not serving other people, but we are always serving, always serving. And, you know, psychologists today, they actually believe it's hardwired into our DNA even, and there was a couple studies that came across that were pretty interesting. They found that when people helped people, there was a neurotransmitter called oxytocin that was released in your body, and it's the same one that's activated when you feel love for your spouse or love for your kids. And the other thing they found is it's addictive. So literally, serving and giving and helping others can become addictive. Scientists also hooked people up to this functional MRI machine. They studied how the brain activates. So they hooked them up to this functional MRI machine, and they made them donate to charity, which is kind of twisted, I think. But yeah. And so they made them give money, essentially, and it activated the mesolimbic system, which is the seat of our emotions in our brain. And it was the same activation that happened when we actually received money. It was also the same system that was activated when we experienced love. Food, sex, drugs, that's all activated by this mesolimbic system. So literally giving to people activates some of the same centers that we get a lot of our other pleasures with, good or bad, okay? But we are hardwired to serve. Now, the authors of these studies, they would argue that it's more of an evolutionary process. You know, we do it to survive. I would say if we were doing it to survive, we'd probably be pretty selfish. We probably wouldn't be giving or serving or helping other people. But it's biblical. You know, we can talk about sowing or reaping. It's the way God designed us. God designed us. We are hardwired to serve. And so the moment, literally the moment that we get saved, our life is no longer about us. You ever thought about that? The moment we get saved, it's no longer about us. And you know, so what are the number one and number two commandments that God gave us? Remember, he was asked, he's like, what are the greatest commandments, Lord? What did he respond with? It's in Matthew 22. You guys remember? One was love God, love others, right? Love God, love others. It wasn't love yourself first, then love God, then love others. It was love God and then love others, right? And so what's the world view? The world view is we got to love ourselves first before we can love other people, right? Got to put ourselves first before we can love them. And it's counter-cultural. We got to love God first. So people who love themselves first, you probably know these people, a lot of times very selfish, worried, they're anxious, fearful, very easily offended, right? These are people that love themselves first. Now, I want to be clear, like I'm not bashing self-love because I do think we need to come from a position of identity. We really do have to know who we are in Christ and the immense love that he has for us, the immense value that he's placed on our life, right? So in that sense, if we're talking about self-love, I'm good with that. But out of that, then we can properly go and serve and love other people. And so we need to know our identity first for that. Now, let's talk about those others who actually love others first, right? You know who those people are, right? They're incredible people. They have a different presence about them. They're full of joy. They're full of peace. They have capacity. They have time in their lives. They have this abundant life. But they're loving God first, and then they're loving others. And in doing that, in sacrificing themselves, they actually get a lot of life out of it, you know? And I guarantee you the most purposeful, fulfilled time that you've had in your life wasn't serving your own needs. It was actually serving other people. And so here's the provoking part. Okay, so what happens when we don't serve? What happens when we don't bring our gift to the body? Well, number one, it hurts yourself. So if you do want to take kind of a selfish view on it, it actually does hurt ourselves. We don't get the growth and the maturity in God that we should be having. But the other thing is it really doesn't add to the body then. And we really miss out on those gifts that we should be partaking in, right? And so there's no surrender in that case. There's no serving. There's no sacrifice. And then there's no sanctification. And so we want to go through that process. We want to go through that process. Now, when we talk about being, if we were to talk about being selfish, most people think, you know, instantly think about being selfish with money or possessions or resources. It's pretty easy to understand. But I would argue the number one thing that we are the most selfish with is with our time. If we can get some agreement on that. Not our money. It's with our time, okay? So who here is busy? Do you got my busy slide up? Oh, do another one. Sorry, I did that in the wrong order. You know what? No, go back. Go back. Box on the wall. I want to chat about this really quick. That's actually a picture of our office. And so a mentor of ours, he told us we should do this. And so I hung this box up on the wall. Like, literally, that's the staff area walking out into our office. And if I would have listened to my wife, I wouldn't have put it, like, right by the door. Because I think we've probably dislocated our shoulders on it a couple times, but no one's going to miss this box, okay? No one's going to miss it. And so the idea behind this box is, you know, we're showing up to work, and we're not just there to punch a clock. We're here to serve people. And so whatever you came in with in your head that day, selfish thoughts, whatever's going on in your life that's negative or not encouraging or uplifting, you're just going to, like, shake your head into this box, and it's going to stay in that box. You're going to walk through the door, and you're going to serve people, okay? And there are actually some, like, dents in that thing, so nobody's missing that box. So go to the next slide. Who's busy? Anybody here feel like they have a busy life? Like, everybody's going to raise their hands, probably. We have this, like, this guy leads a crazy busy life. Look at that guy, needs some help, right? And we're there. Jen and I are there. We talk about this all the time. Man, our life feels busy, but God will put things on our plate, and then he'll resource it. He'll give us the capacity for it. And we'll look back, and I'd say we're in a preparation phase. We talk about this now. We're in preparation for something, but what we do on a day-to-day basis in our week, I like think like if we would see ourselves, if ourselves 5 years ago would see ourselves now in what we're doing, we'd say, how could you, I don't know if you could do that, if that's possible, if it's healthy, or if it's, but we're managing. We're doing it by God's grace. And we do what we prioritize. Okay, and I actually got, this awesome devotional that I came across, and it was talking about idols in our life, and many different idols, work, family, money, lots of different things, and the intent of this devotional was we prioritize what matters to us in life, and so if work is our number one priority, we're going to miss a church meeting or a life group, or a, and if our kids' hockey is, we talk about hockey all the time because Isaiah wants to go to hockey, and it's like, if hockey is the most important thing, then, you know, we're going to be not showing up on a Sunday, or something. You know, these things are just going to spur on the moment, they're going to take over, and if we don't have our priorities set, we're not going to have very good control over our lives. So we do what we prioritize. Now, I want to share a little bit more about our story or my story, just so that you guys don't think that I'm preaching up here because I've figured this whole thing out, so I want to share a little bit about my background, but I mean, I've been a believer my whole life, thankful that I was raised in the church, but of the churches that I've been a part of, I've never been so involved in serving as when we came to Enjoy Life Church, and it has been incredible, and there's been many times where I've been a backbencher. It's very easy to be someone who doesn't really knit into a church. You can kind of just come and go. It's very easy to switch churches. It's very easy for you to have an opinion about the church because you're not actually part of it. So when you become a part of it, you carry the weight of it, and you're part of the good and the bad, right? But it's easy not to be involved in that. So for many times, that was me in my life. I was like serving a little bit here or there, but not like a ton. And so it was less responsibility for me, less ownership for me, and it was easy for me to kind of come and go. I also went through a season where I was like, you know what? I'm gonna be a businessman that funds the gospel. Dad, praise the Lord, right? He needs our money. Like he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He doesn't need my money, right? It's more for me, right? It's important for me to give because I can shed some things in my life, right? But God doesn't need my money. I'm not saying stop giving to the church, but right? But God does not need our money. He needs our heart in these issues. And every ask that happened to us here at Enjoy Life Church, I was trying to find like this cartoon of like a guy getting pulled by a horse with like his heels in the ground. You guys are laughing because you know. And and I was thinking the first time, it wasn't long after we started attending, that Leonard and Lori took us out for coffee, and they said, you know, we want you to lead a welcome desk team, okay? And I heard a pastor actually preach, just a side note, there is a direct correlation between when a member starts attending a church, how much is being asked of them at the start, a correlation between how long they actually stay involved in that church, okay? So if you're going to a church and you're not getting involved, you're not serving, you're going to feel like an outsider, and eventually you're going to say, oh, where do I fit in here, you know? Knit in, get serving. So they sat us down, they're like, you know, we want you to run this welcome desk thing, and to us, we were like, oh, man, that's a lot of work. I don't know if we have time for this. So we sat them down and we explained to them what our life looks like. I don't think you understand, but this is what's on our plate, you know, and this is what we have. We have other ministries that we're involved in and all this stuff. And so then God's like, and then we'll do it, okay? And it was work at the start. But now we have this amazing Welcome Desk team. Thank you, Welcome Desk team. It's like, it's so easy to be in charge of the welcome desk team. I even took myself off the schedule. It's like, it's incredible. Okay. So that's all good, right? And life goes on. We're like, yeah, we're busy at work. Now we're serving in the church and we're feeling purpose, right? And then Herman mentions to me, you know, have you ever thought about leading a life group? I'm like, brother, no. We could not lead a life group. You know, maybe you don't know what we have on our plate. It's a lot. I remember we're driving back from family camp one summer, and we were just like, why don't we lead a life group? And we're talking about just like how our families were very different. One of our families had people over all the time. We used our house as ministry, And it was amazing in the other family. We didn't do that so much. It was like, what do we want our kids to grow up in? It's like, we want our kids to grow up in a house that has people over and we're serving and loving the Lord. And so we're like, okay, we're going to do a life group. And I cannot imagine us not doing life group now, you know? Like some of the sweetest times in ministry we've had was been in life group. Some of the most amazing times God's used us is in life group. You know, some people are like, where can I be used? Where can I be discipled? Or life group is like, super easy. So Isaiah gave his life to the Lord after life group. You know, how could we not have life group in our life? So just saying yes to doing life group is good for us, but it's also now good for the next generation. Good for our families, good for our kids, okay? So the next ask, we want you to become deacons. We're like, I don't think you know. Pretty sure you didn't hear us last time. We don't have time. And if you ask us to do one more thing, it's going to be no. It's literally what I said. And you guys all just laughed at us. So we became deacons. And then shortly after we get the call, you got to consider being elders. I'm pretty sure they're not listening to us. Not hearing anything that we're saying. And so I prayed about it. And I sought wise counsel, mostly people who would give me an answer that I was looking for. And I took like a good week to think about this. And Jen's like, don't share this part. So I called Leonard and I was like, Leonard, and he was with Russell, and I'm like, the answer is no. So much on our plate, and I'm worried about our kids, and are we spending enough time with them, and all these things. And he's very gracious, and you were with him too, and you guys were like, we know God's working on you guys, and we're family, and we're happy to be serving with you guys, and be well, something like that. Told him I had a dream of being at Leonard's retirement party once, and I was like, yeah, you finished your race well, and I was grateful for that. And I'm still believing for that word to happen, but. And then I couldn't sleep for like 3-4 nights. It was awful. It was the worst. I would wake up at like 1 in the morning, and then I'd be up for hours. I'd maybe just fall asleep, and then Isaiah's, in front of me in my face, like waking up. I'm like, oh, it's like time to get up already, and I'm exhausted. And I already told you my life is busy, so try to be busy without having sleep. And I was a wreck. And then we showed up to church on Sunday, and it was incredible. It was the weirdest feeling of my life. I felt like I didn't belong here, which is wrong because I do, but I felt like I didn't belong. Everything felt off, like from pre-service prayer to being in worship to everything was just like, this is wrong, And it was God just taking us through this sacrifice part, this sanctification part. Like, you were supposed to say yes to that. And, I'm thankful that God took me through that. Took us through that because now I know it was his decision and not mine. So I'm grateful for that. But definitely, we still don't have this figured out yet. But and definitely, we've dug in our heels, or I've dug in my heels. Jen's more let's go with it than I am in most cases. So I'm glad I married her. And but we definitely don't have this all figured out. So a couple things that we've learned through our process. If you want to, it's already up here. Good. Number one is that time is not linear. So you're going to argue with me because it's just daylight savings time. You're like, I just lost an hour, man. Don't talk to me about time is not linear. It is linear. But 2 Peter 3:8, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day, okay? And so let's start wearing our spiritual clocks or watches around, We had this crazy Sunday. We were busy in the morning. We had an event that night. We had a crazy busy week, and I was like, man, the boys need time with us. We need time with the boys. And I was so tired. We got home and we fed them, and then I lay down on the couch and I crashed. I was being very selfish. And I woke up after a power nap, and I was like, I was on point. I was like the best dad ever. And for like the next 3 hours, we had the most incredible playtime together. It was amazing. It was like 2 days packed into one. It was incredible. And then we had a babysitter, so we kissed the boys and said goodbye, and they were happy because we spent good time with them, and then we went and did what we had to do in that evening. And so time to God is like nothing. Like he can make it work. And it doesn't make sense to us in our physical mind, it doesn't make sense to us. But with God, he can do anything, okay? Number two, feelings are unreliable. And if we made our decisions based on emotion, our life would be a roller coaster, okay? So here's an extreme example for you. Spur of the moment, we decided yesterday to go to West Edmonton Mall. Just do something with the boys. You're laughing at me already. Do something with the boys. And so we took the mini golfing, and then we took them to the food court, and it's like, get whatever you want for food. Like, you know, so that was a bad decision because it took us like, we had to go to five different places. But so we're sitting there, and Eli's just like, he looks up at us, and he's like, Mom and Dad, this is the greatest day ever. We're like, and Isaiah's like, well, greatest day this month. and then literally a half hour later, the exhaustion kicks in. He's tired. And he's throwing a fit. And he's like, worst day ever. It's like, we're dragging him out of the mall. So our feelings are unreliable. Okay? Yeah. And the last one is that God sustains us. God sustains us. And, you know, every time we said yes to something, like I thought we didn't have the time, we didn't have the capacity, the energy, the resources, every time we said yes to it, yeah, it was a struggle at the start, but once we got into the flow and once God was using us, it's like he gave us the energy for it. He gave us the capacity for it. It's incredible. And, you know, I came across this, I was reading in Acts chapter 5, and you don't have to pull it up, but it was talking about when, Jesus has been crucified, and Peter and the disciples are going out and causing a ruckus. And they, like, signs, miracles, wonders, the early church was being built. And there's this, it was an incredible time that was happening in the early church in that time. The religious leaders were disgruntled about it. They weren't happy about it. And so they were all getting together, and they're like, let's put these guys to death. You know, we already took care of Jesus. We may as well knock these guys out too. Let's stop this thing. And there was a wise Pharisee by the name of Gamaliel, and he got all the leaders together, and he said, hold on a second here, guys. He's like, hold on, because something is happening here. He's like, why don't we just let this thing play itself out? And if it's of God, it will be sustained, right? If it's of man, it's going to peter out anyways. But if it's of God, it will be sustained, and you don't want to fight against God. And so if there's something in your life that you're like, I don't know if, you know, I have too much on my plate, or I'm not supposed to be doing this, like, seek wise counsel, make wise decisions, spend time in prayer. But I just want to encourage you, over the course of your life, you're going to look back and you'll be like, the things that God wanted you to do, he sustained you in and carried you through those things, okay? So I promised I'd be a short preach. I want to finish with two last points, okay? And you can throw up the other slide. The horse, look at that thing. No, one back. So sometimes we think being a servant means being a pushover, right? We're just going to say yes to everything, and we're just going to let everybody walk all over us. And sometimes we associate the word meek with a servant, you know, and we think meek is weak, maybe because it rhymes, I don't know. But the word meek is the exact opposite. It's like the Greek word for meek is praus, and they actually use this to describe the Greek war horses back in the day. And this is actually covered in Job 39. It describes these animals. They were immensely powerful animals, and with just the gentle nudge of the rider's knee or a gentle pull on the rein, they were instantly obedient. So meek is power under control. And these animals were incredible. Like, you know how horses are usually skittish from like the littlest sound or whatever? Like, these horses, with the thundering sound of an army approaching them, they would be like pawing the ground in anticipation of what's going to happen, and they weren't backing down from anything, right? So being a servant does not mean that we're weak, that we're pushovers. It's power under control. And again, if we can go back to, if we really have a wrap on who our identity is in Christ, we're going to be powerful. Powerful people, right? And we're going to operate on a love. It's not going to be a power struggle, but it's going to be operating on a love, okay? And the last thing that I want to talk about is, you know, there is a difference between having vision and having sight. And when it comes to serving, it's important that we distinguish between these two, okay? So sight, we all have. We're using it right now, okay? We can see exactly what's in front of us. It makes sense to us. Vision is seeing into the future, right? And when we're serving and we're becoming sanctified, we're dying to self, we need to have vision, not sight. And we need to have an eternal lens when we're looking at things, right? One of my favorite writers is Francis Chan, and in one of his books he was writing at the start, and he was talking about his family, saying, I am working really hard to set my family up for the future. And then he followed up by that up by saying, now most of you are going to think like I'm saving for retirement or an inheritance so I can leave my kids with money and possessions, or maybe I'm saving for RESP so they can go to college. He's like, I'm not talking about the next 100 years. I'm talking about the first 100 years in heaven. I'm setting my family up for the next 100 years in heaven. We need to have this eternal lens. So what I want to encourage you guys with is we all have gifts and we all have abilities, and they're to be used for God's glory, not our own, okay? And we need to have this eternal vision. It's not just about us, and it's not for right now. It's for others, and it's for eternal perspective, okay?